Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
This is Illinois Family Spotlight. I'm Monty Larrick. State Representative Peter Breen serves the 48th District in the General Assembly. He is the special counsel for the Thomas More Society, a not-for-profit national public interest law firm dedicated to restoring respect in law for life, family, and religious liberty. Representative Breen is the Illinois House Republican floor leader. He says that by signing House Bill 40 into law, Governor Rauner is forcing taxpayers in Illinois to fund 20 to 30,000 elective abortions every year. That's for any reason abortions. Will it really be that bad?
Yes, Monty. And that the issue here is in states that have legalized Medicaid abortions, over 50% of the abortions, of all of the abortions, become taxpayer funded. In Illinois, we have an especially generous Medicaid eligibility because we care about pregnant women and then their children. So we care for them, because, and so by having such an extremely generous system, we're looking at 75% of the abortions currently performed in Illinois being eligible for federal funding. And that's not, I'm sorry, state funding, Medicaid funding. And that isn't even including the folks who are going to come in from other states. That isn't including, the folks that, even though they may have enough family money, they qualify separately now as an independent household. So you've got an additional number that are going to now be aborting in the state of Illinois, unfortunately, and most of it's going to be taxpayer funded.
I hate to talk about money, but this is going to really be a big hit on Illinois' budget.
Just simple math. 30,000 abortions. At the current cost, we're paying about $1,000 for the abortion and all the ancillary services through Medicaid for the very small number we do right now. That's $30 million. But here's the kicker. Normally, when we put a dollar out in Medicaid funding, the federal government sends us 50 cents back. We don't get a dime back for this funding. So it really is a $60 million hit to our Medicaid system. And the question I've got is, where are we going to find this money? I mean, we're so poor, we can't rub two nickels together in the state government. And are we going to take those funds away from more, call them more worthy medical treatments, such as diabetes treatment or heart medicine, or what? What are we going to do instead to try to make up that $60 million hit to our Medicaid system?
That's also money that could be going to good health care for women and their babies, community-based health care.
Certainly. And our Medicaid system right now, again, we are very generous towards women and their children, but both through their pregnancies. We want them to take care of themselves, be healthy. We want their kids to be healthy. And so this move to take that generosity and move it towards abortions, it makes it doubly offensive, frankly. And one of the moves of this House Bill 40, it wasn't just Medicaid funding and state insurance funding. There are special funds in Illinois that are allocated to care for women in problem pregnancies. So to help them find the resources they need to take care of themselves and their babies, that fund has now been redirected so that it will help to refer people for abortions and pay for them. So there are elements of this bill just incredibly out of step with mainstream Illinois values, with the majority position, the strong majority position of Illinois taxpayers and voters.
Safe to say that this is an extreme position on abortion?
Yes, absolutely. And here's the thing. People disagree. They're pro-life on abortion, they're pro-choice on abortion. In Illinois, just like every other state in the union, there is a strong disagreement there. But plenty of pro-choice voters, those who would identify themselves as pro-choice on abortion, are against using their tax dollars to pay for those abortions. When someone says they're pro-choice on abortion, that means they want to keep it legal. At least in most circumstances. That doesn't mean they want taxpayers to have to fund most or all of the abortions.
Do you feel that the governor betrayed you? You've had a lot of comments out there along that line, but tell me about the level of betrayal that you feel.
He looked me in the eye, he shook my hand, and he committed to veto this bill. Said he was going to veto taxpayer funding of abortion. He made the same commitment to Cardinal Supich, the Archbishop Cardinal of Chicago. Flipping on that alone is an incredible betrayal In political life, part of the problem is because you're moving bills back and forth, you've got to be able to make commitments to people, and those commitments have to stand. So you've got your word. If your word is no good, you cannot operate effectively in a political environment. So that's number one. But number two was the long-term promise he made to the people of the state of Illinois. In 2014, he said, I am pro-choice politically, but I will have no social agenda. And most folks saw that as he's not going to rock the boat too much. And there was nothing, for folks who consider themselves pro-choice, there was nothing really in Illinois law that needed to be changed for them. For those of us who are pro-life, we would like to add some things, say, call it other full informed consent, other measures that are some reasonable restrictions on the abortion procedure. But certainly, taxpayer funding of abortion was not in anyone's view as part of a no social agenda way of operating the government.
Just how permanent is this law? Using your legal mind here, is it etched in stone? Could it conceivably be overturned in the courts some way?
Well, so here's the thing. This is mostly a spending measure. And so that is something that, sometimes, so for instance, we had a bill that went into law in these past few years that forces doctors to talk to pregnant women about abortion.
Another bill that the governor signed.
The governor did sign that bill, and I'm very, very unhappy about it. My wife's OBGYN had to sue the governor to try to enjoin that bill because it was a restriction on his free speech rights, his free exercise of religion rights. And it also forced crisis pregnancy centers to refer people for abortions. And fortunately, we've had some success in the courts in terms of enjoining that law. But for this, when you look at the way to attack a spending measure like this, you're not going to get the constitutional challenges. We're not going to be able to do that. I am putting together right now a group of plaintiffs. We're going to roll this out pretty soon here we're going to sue over the effective date of this bill. Because of the way the Democrats played games with the time of passage of this bill, it should be effective June 1st, so at the end of our next legislative session in 2018, not January 1st. And you might say, well, that's not a huge difference, except 5 months, at least conservatively, at least 10,000 abortions that are going to be paid for with taxpayer dollars, let's at least prevent that. And let's go through the legislative session and talk about, should we be funding abortions with tax dollars? So that's really where I'm looking at right now, and I can answer too. Henry Hyde's amendment. So the great Illinois Congressman Henry Hyde, who wrote the Hyde Amendment back in the mid 70s, and that gets reapproved every year by the U.S. Congress. There's no reason we in Illinois can't do the same thing. There is no reason that we can't have a Hyde Amendment here in Illinois. I'd love to reverse what HB 40 did on taxpayer-funded abortions permanently, but there's no reason that every year we can't say those appropriations bills, they need to have a Hyde Amendment. We're not going to approve that Medicaid funding unless we also make sure it's not used for elective abortions.
Let me ask you this. Congress is trying to pass legislation on the federal level that would ban abortions 20 weeks after conception. Would that have a mitigating effect on what's transpired in Illinois?
Well, that would help throughout the country. So across the country, you would see a reduction in the number of abortions. And certainly, after 20 weeks, now you are talking about late-term abortions. I mean, those are children that, I mean, you're putting ultrasounds up on your refrigerator, and anyone with a pair of eyes says that's a baby, after 20 weeks. So right now with HB 40, this taxpayer funding of abortion, it's in that law, it said, any abortion that's legal in Illinois gets funded. For Medicaid folks. So if we were to say, hey, no, nothing after 20 weeks, that would reduce overall the number of abortions, and the law would apply then only up to 20 weeks.
What can people of faith, pro-life voters, do to help counter the impact of this measure?
Call your representatives, call your senators. I will say this. This move, really shocking and surprising move by the governor, has just opened up an incredible wellspring of it's anger. There's a whole range of emotions. Tell your representative and senator, I do not want my tax dollars going for abortions. And so, look, what this now does is means that every year, in every legislative session, We will be looking to ensure that our tax dollars aren't going for abortions. Every appropriations measure that goes to the Illinois House and Senate is going to have an amendment filed, says no taxpayer funding of abortions. So you're going to see that every single year. And you know what? Those Democrats on the other side, Mike Madigan and his Democrats, all of whom voted for taxpayer funding of abortions, they're going to hear about it. We're not going to forget. We're not going to reduce in our enthusiasm for trying to ensure that our tax dollars not go for these procedures.
This is Illinois Family Spotlight, joined by Peter Brings, state representative representing the 48th District here in Illinois. We'll take a time out and come right back.
Hello, I'm David Smith, the Executive Director of Illinois Family Institute, a state-based Christian pro-life and pro-family public policy organization. I want to invite you to join us as we seek to be salt and light to a dark and rapidly decaying culture. You can do that in a number of ways. For example, you can join our email list to get timely alerts and great cultural commentaries. You can like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter, listen to our podcast, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can attend one or more of the special events and forums we host in different parts of the state. We do all these things to encourage and equip Christians in Illinois. You see, we need you to help us fulfill our mission to boldly bring a biblical perspective to public policy. Our faith requires us to be bold, speak truthfully, and love our neighbors. Join us. Visit IllinoisFamily.org to learn more.
This is Illinois Family Spotlight. I'm Monty Larrick, joined by State Representative Peter Breen. He's the Republican floor leader in the legislature, in the House, right?
Yeah, right. So I get to be the lead debater on all the bills that come before the House. It's a wonderful privilege, and it's something where I'm going to be able to advocate for folks. We have a wonderful group of legislators in Springfield representing the Republican Party and who are doing their darndest to try to turn the state around. And so I get to be their voice as the initial debater and then kind of help make sure that everybody gets their points across in the way that's most effective and best represents their district.
Well, in the wake of House Bill 40, the signing by Governor Rauner, you and a lot of other conservatives are parting company with the governor. But you also have issues with the governor on his ability to govern and to deal with House Speaker Michael Madigan. Tell us about that.
Well, certainly. We had a period of 2 years where the governor sat and allowed judges to make the decisions. And now there's the governor and the attorney general and Madigan. So there's a lot of folks who are at fault, but the governor had the ability. I mean, he is the executive. He's the chief executive of this state. They sat and allowed judges, mostly federal judges, to tell us how we were spending our state tax dollars. And during that time period, there were plenty of opportunities to cut a deal, to finish off this incredible impasse. And certainly there were legal angles available to the governor to try to force an end to this. They didn't take them. Instead, we racked up $16 billion in back bills that we're now going to have to put out bonds to pay off. So for 1 or 2 years back bills, we're going to be paying for a decade to come. I mean, that's like taking your credit card debt and rolling it into your home mortgage. I mean, that's what we just did here. And that's on Bruce Rauner's watch. And you know what? And he is not the only one at fault, but there certainly were ways. A conservative Republican governor would have said, I am not spending more than we're taking in. And I'm going to do everything possible to make sure we do not spend more than we take in.
Well, if the governor does seek reelection, should he be primaried? Will you primary him?
Well, here's the thing. The governor is no longer able to make an effective case that he should govern the state of Illinois. Obviously, the folks on the other side of the aisle have believed that from day one. You know, somebody will win an election, and even before they get sworn in, the guys on the other side of the aisle will say, no, you know, they're terrible, and we're going to do everything we can to undermine. We tried to work with them. I've done everything possible. I have given them every benefit of the doubt, and I just can't anymore.
Should he step aside and let somebody else run?
I think that he is not going to be the governor in January of 2019. At that point, the people of Illinois deserve a real choice. And it looks like, you know, one of the problems that we did in the Republican side, we took an untested person who had never been as much as a village council member and put him into the top office in our state. Now, in some other states, they've been able to do that. But in Illinois, that has never been successful. That's never worked for us. Our state is too messy. It's too much of a, there's just such a, there's such a culture of corruption and graft and moving back and forth. I mean, you've got to have somebody that knows how to move that government, fight with Mike Madigan, keep the interests at bay. And that, that wasn't Bruce Rauner. And it looks like the Democrats are about to make the same mistake. Another out-of-touch billionaire they're about to nominate. Why? Because he writes them big checks. So I look at that and say, we've got to have a different alternative. And my belief is that person should be someone that folks can rally around, someone who will be able to have us put aside petty differences and move us forward together.
So how interested are you in the job?
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. I was out, I knock on doors, talk to folks in my district. I love representing my district. I got my folks in Lombard. I got my folks in Glen Ellen, folks in Wheaton, a little bit of Lyle and Downers Grove, a sliver of Villa Park, some folks in Oak Brook Terrace. I love those folks. I love representing this district. And so it it's the sort of thing I look at and say, I know there are plenty of people in this state who can represent us as a state, who can lead us forward. And so it's neat to get folks calling you and saying, hey, you're going to run and do this, you're going to do that, you're going to be the next governor. But really, I think there are a lot of people that are ahead of me on that list of folks that I'd like to see really take over and take the bull by the horns, get us united, and take us forward together.
Care to name names?
Well, here's what I'll do instead. Here's my role. I'm the one who, when we got the notice Thursday, that fateful Thursday, at 3 o'clock, there's going to be a press conference at the Thompson Center. So my role was, I said, I was at my office at Thomas More. I got out, walked up LaSalle Street, walked to the Thompson Center. I went up to the 15th floor, walked over to the press conference room. I showed them my little badge. It says state representative and the armed guards. It's the first time I've ever seen armed guards outside the press conference room. Said, sorry, rep, can't let you in.
Really?
Really. And who goes in, who streams in? Board of directors of Planned Parenthood, the higher ups in the ACLU. And so I had to actually watch the Twitter feed to see what the governor was saying in the press conference, and I'm sitting outside. And then they finish up and they come out and folks want to talk to me. So I was the guy that was standing there to provide the counterpoint. My role is to help people understand the governor is done. He is done. He is not going to be governor in January of 2019. We've got to move forward together. I want to see someone that can, they're going to be able to negotiate with the other side. I mean, look, we're going to be stuck with Democrat majorities, at least in the Senate, if not the House, for the next 4 years. I want to see someone who can negotiate with the other side without losing their principles. I want to see someone so that we will know that they're coming from a core of principle and trying and being able to negotiate. And then, now the third point, they've got to be somebody we can all rally around, because we are going to, this is going to be all hands on deck. All hands on deck. Because you know what? You are losing Bruce Rauner, who has propped up a lot of entities and people, and he's not going to be there. I mean, folks, people who are at the grassroots, just regular folks, are going to have to get mad enough to get involved and get active and do things. It is all hands on deck.
Well, let's talk about that. The complaint is, among a lot of conservatives, that the Illinois Republican Party is being overwhelmed by moderates and Democrat lights. How do we have a new birth of conservatism in the Illinois Republican Party? What needs to happen?
Well, here's the problem. So whenever we're looking at a situation, we always look at the negative. Even when we look at ourselves, we're always, oh, I did that wrong. And you'll ignore the fact, hey, you did five things right for that one thing you did wrong. And sometimes you learn more maybe from your mistakes than from your successes. There are a lot of good, principled Republican office holders that you have that the people should be happy about in the Illinois House, the Illinois Senate. Those are my points of expertise. And they're running the ball for you. You may not know it, and they may not represent your district, but they are running the ball for you, and it's more than we've ever had. So I might frame it more as, hey, the people are there. They've just got to now really take the lead. I was even talking to some of my colleagues the other day. We all came in 2014. I came in 2014, so I'm less than 3 years in the legislature. I said, look, there's so many people retiring ahead of us. You know, we've all been looking, well, what are the party leaders? What are the elders going to say? I'm sitting there looking around going, we're the elders. And so, I mean, folks, you have plenty of advocates for you in Springfield and working for you in the party. Now, we have an issue with a governor who has been propping up a lot of entities and people, and he's gone. Maybe he doesn't realize it yet. Maybe others still don't realize it. A good number of us, I mean, every day I go to more events and folks are saying, yeah, he's done. I said, if everyone believes and understands he's done, we will then need to act accordingly. We're going to have to rebuild. So I'm less worried about a couple of folks who are more moderate. And I might just say, there are some districts in this state where we're going to need a moderate Republican to win. And, you know, and I can say that, and that's fine. But this is the Republican Party. We are a pro-life party. We are a more conservative party. That's just how we are. And so I don't want to exclude those folks. They might even be pro-choice. Now, they're pro-choice, but they're not going to be for taxpayer funding of abortion. We don't need to exclude those folks. They're going to be a smaller group in our party. But I would say to you, there are a lot of good, good people that have risen through the ranks and are now going to be taking over to help push our ideas as we go forward.
Well, speaking about rising through the ranks, just how important is it for conservatives to work the precincts, become precinct committeemen?
You know, the funny thing, right now, your political consultants and the alleged experts, most of whom told the governor, you can sign this bill and everyone's going to forget in a week. Those guys are wrong. All they look at is massive flows of cash back and forth. That is not the way that the world works. The world changes. It's going to change one-to-one, people talking to one another. When you focus on your neighbors and your friends locally, you change hearts, minds, and outlooks. And those changes can then propagate for years to come. And so that to me, working locally is the most effective way to get this state turned around, truly. Here's the other thing. You know, the local precinct committeemen have influence on their respective parties. Precinct committeemen are the ones who elect the state central committeemen. The state central committeemen, one for each congressional district, they run your state party, whether Democrat or Republican. Now, take that back. On the Republican side, the precinct committeemen elect the state central committeemen. On the Democrat side, they actually elect them at large per congressional district. I'm still not sure how folks elect Mike Madigan. That's
it happens.
Democrats to worry about. Yeah, that's their choice, not mine. So that is something. Look, getting involved with your local political organization, whatever your beliefs are, is incredibly effective. Particularly right now, the precinct committeeman represents his folks. So they call it, you know, maybe about 800 people per precinct. So there's lots and lots of precincts. You are the advocate for those 800 people with your political party. You're the one who can get to the elected official and say, hey, we want this or we want that. Hey, you know, we'll help you out if you stand with us on this. You know, don't cave. That's what the precinct committeeman can do.
Let me take just a couple more minutes of your time here, but let me ask you this question. Who's going to benefit more by enactment of House Bill 40, Democrats who support it or Republicans who oppose it?
Well, here's the problem. This piece of legislation is one of the worst ever enacted in Illinois history. So I kind of want to take a bigger picture. Anyone who opposed it obviously is in a better political position because you've stood with the people of Illinois. Those who supported it, I know people who supported it that don't agree with its tenets, but they were afraid of being primaried, say, in the Democratic side. You know, they thought some left-winger is going to come and take them out. That's a shame. It's a shame. It's a shame that in the Democrat Party, they have kicked out people who are pro-life to the point where the Democrat Party chairman for the country said that pro-life candidates shouldn't be supported by the party. I know we have a few pro-life Democrats, and I'm glad we do. Abortion shouldn't be a partisan issue. I wish the Democrat Party would be open to life. I just wish they would. It reaches back to the best parts of the Democrat Party history. The Democrat Party has had a very mixed history in America. I mean, everything from their support of slavery, the support of the Klan. They've had a very mixed history. Support of life is something that would be a positive part of that history.
I can't help but wonder what's next for the anti-lifers in the legislature. Are they going to be pushing pro-euthanasia legislation, pro-assisted suicide legislation? What's on the horizon?
I'm not sure exactly. I've got to tell you, I don't know that they believed the governor was going to sign this bill, and I don't know that they quite understood how much of a backlash is coming from the people of the state of Illinois. I think you're going to see the folks on the anti-life side playing defense for a while and trying to justify to their own voters, because folks didn't realize. I said, wait, what do you mean they're taxpayer-funded abortions? What do you mean it's tens of thousands of taxpayer-funded abortions? I think the Democrats are going to be on the defense for a while now. And hopefully, again, we'll be able to reverse this decision. If we can't, we're going to be on offense. I don't think they may have a next step. I know they've always got something. And frankly, they have activist groups and others who make their living pushing against life. So they'll always find something because they want a paycheck, the activists and others. That's going to be on them. But I would say right now, I think they're going to be on defense, at least this year and next year, until we can get this reversed, or at least get a regular Hyde Amendment. If we can get a regular Hyde Amendment on all of our appropriations bills, then we'll be back to somewhat of the equilibrium we were at, and then you'll see. But right now, they're going to be on defense.
Well, earlier you mentioned that Illinois' finances still are not in good shape. That's despite this big income tax increase we got. Are more tax hikes in the offing?
I know that there are people pushing for more tax hikes, and the numbers are not going to work. And one of the things that we on the Republican side were pushing for throughout these negotiations was some sort of a spending cap so that we know that we wouldn't be coming back the next year and seeking more tax dollars. And really the weakness of what was agreed to by some of the kind of the rump Republicans and the Democrats, the weakness of it was there's no spending cap and there was not sufficient reforms to lower the cost of doing business in Illinois, of just operating the government, much less doing business in Illinois. There's another issue here, too. We had talked about people have been using pejorative words for the 15 Republicans that voted for the tax increase and the out-of-balance budget. Some of them, I understand. I'm not quite sure why they voted for it. But I will observe that if we had a governor who really would provide leadership, who was engaged in negotiating those budgets, you would not have seen representatives and others feel that they had to break. I'm not excusing what they did, but certainly a governor had provided leadership. You wouldn't have seen a two-year impasse, and you would not have seen the fracturing of the Republican Party. This is the biggest problem of Bruce Rauner. He has fractured the Republican Party. And so my message to folks is, I want the best Democrats. I want the best Republicans. And right now, with the Republican Party fractured, we can't be a strong and effective group to advocate for our policies. I mean, I want the best Democrats advocating for whatever, crazy ideas they've got. I want our folks to be the most effective and active advocating for our ideas. And let the fight happen on the policy level, and then may the best policies win. Right now, we can't do that because Bruce Rauner has so fractured us, and really to no end. We've had no gains based on his actions over these last nearly 3 years.
So when will you decide whether you're the guy to mend the fractured Republican Party?
Now, Monty, that's a loaded question. I am working to try to find somebody who can unite us, who has principles, but also understands how to negotiate. There are plenty of people in Illinois on the Republican side who can do that. So that's really my focus right now. And look, every one of your listeners needs to go and, tell three friends, Bruce Rauner's done. Bruce Rauner's done. Spread the word, because that needs to happen fast so that he will decide to step aside so that we can really find someone who can provide the kind of leadership we need to move forward, to unify, and to present the best Republican ideas, present the best of our party.
Thank you so much. State Representative Peter Breen, a life leader in the legislature, God bless you and your work.
Hey, thank you, Monty. It's been great to speak with you.
Thanks for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. Monty Larrick here. Until next time, God bless.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at ifiaction.org and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.